I don't break.
Splashing through England to full forward to Lambert, and the goals is a delight for the Tiger fans.
Austin who released Treloar. You love him here, bouncing through the 50 and kicking the goal.
Across Australia and online at aflnation.com.au. Welcome to AFL Nation.
For McDonald's, get into Macca's today for hot, juicy, tasty burgers made with 100% Aussie beef.
And Liquorland, always great value.
Friday night footy serves a unique purpose. It closes a round rather than opening it, and it is a tip of the scales game. The Giants are 8th, Essendon at 10th. They're both on 5 wins. You can run the maths for yourself for the consequences of a match like this. But one finishes inside the 8 and one does not when the final siren peals tonight. The end of round 10, and then we launch into round 11 tomorrow. It's weird times. Welcome to AFL Nation for McDonald's. Get into Macca's today for hot, juicy, tasty burgers made with 100% Aussie-made beef and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. Jared Waitley with Anthony Hudson. Hello, hello.
Evening, Jared. Hello, everyone. Big welcome on this Friday night. It's a foul day, foul night in Melbourne. Good to be inside. And it's a bit of a lotto as to what sort of matches we're getting. There was two last night. One was pretty laborious, but it had a fantastic crowning moment to see and to be able to have the luxury of calling Dacos to kick the winning goal and then get home and watch the other game, which was fantastic. And I think that the feeling of rewarding the teams that are playing attractive football with prime time is great, and the Saints just continue to march on. So let's hope we get something more like that tonight. And as you said, it is strange times. If you really do it hard between when one round ends and the next one starts, all you have to do is go to bed and wake up and you've got the next tomorrow. So, yeah, can't wait to see what we get delivered tonight. And, in fact, looking ahead tomorrow, Port Adelaide and Richmond, that's a massive game, isn't it? But there is plenty to talk about.
It is an odd sensation formalising your tips before a couple of teams have even played. But that's where we are. Jordan Lewis, good evening.
G'day, boys. Jared, Hutto. Yeah, I was with Hutto yesterday for the Collingwood-Sydney game, so that was... that was a bizarre game. There was a few things that no doubt we'll speak about in a moment that happened throughout the game. And then I was a little bit like you, Hutto. I went home, watched the game, and I couldn't help but sit there and go, I think this is the future. This is the next 10 years of seeing these two sides potentially go head to head and could create one of the great rivalries. You know, young players on both sides play attractive brand of football. You know, Dougal Howard on King could last for 5 to 10 years. You know, then you talk about the other end, King down the other end, and it was a fantastic game. Then you've got the bits and pieces around that sort of made the game what it was last night, and then the great insight that Stewie Drew provided that you could listen to as well, and what goes on the bench and how calming he was fascinating to hear from a spectator point of view. And tonight's game's interesting. I mean, Essendon are a game behind, so them and Melbourne have got to still play that game out. So if they could get over GWS tonight and get ahead by 4 points, knowing that they've got a game in hand, geez, that could be important with what we think maybe another stage of a compressed fixture. If the sides are willing to do that, it could be a really important game for them tonight.
Just how odd this all is. A list of topics for our pregame show. So a staging fine, a Friday night tribunal hearing, illegal boots, bizarre and disturbing scenes from a team song that has the premiership team preparing a statement to try to appease authorities or the football world. I can't wait to see how they manage to word that. Richmond at the moment, compressed fixtures, is players who aren't ready, who have to play, players who are playing, who are trying to reduce the amount of involvement that they have. And these are most unusual topics and most unusual times.
You got to write. Are you jotting anything down just from a weekly point of view, so your kids could look back on this time and read through that and go, how bizarre, you know, things that we would never have seen happen.
Yep.
We'll know we're in good times, I think, when we can actually read the books and analyse and appreciate without the sense of scariness. I suppose I'm talking less about footy and more about what's going on in the world. You know, when these things can be written in hindsight, because, you know, from a sport point of view but daily lives and even more significant political and health issues around the world. It's still hard to comprehend each day when you wake up that's the existence
we're living under a curfew.
Yeah, we are.
Imagine that, we are living under a curfew.
It was my first time last night. You boys have probably done it, but driving home after the curfew, it was such an eerie feeling. And just thinking, at any stage you would be pulled over. But
have you got your letter ready?
Yeah, I've got a letter from here and Fox, so I've got a few letters there ready to right beside me, ready to sort of pull out as soon as you're pulled over.
Dyson Heppel's going to join us from a footy perspective. To still be listed as indefinite at this stage creates a bit of a tremor, doesn't it? As I wonder what his timeline is and whether the season runs out on him, the Bombers skipper, who hasn't played. Well, he's only played the one game this season. That was the resumption game and then broke the ankle at training the following week.
Have you got a read on the Bombers yet, Jordan?
No.
Injuries have obviously made that more difficult.
Injuries, yeah. I suppose the way I look at Essendon right now is they've had a wretched run with injuries. Arguably their best and most important player hasn't played for a period of time, but we're seeing the emergence of a few players. So I think from a supporter point of view, you enjoy that ride. Yes, they're not competitive. They are competitive, but then they're not at the top echelon of the ladder right now, and there's excuses for that. But you're seeing the emergence of players who potentially be around for 5 to 10 years, but help you when you get everyone sort of back and everyone sort of fits in and slots in, that could be quite powerful. You know, I've really enjoyed Parrish's year, McGrath's year, having Devin Smith back, Zach Merritt.
Jordan Ridley's been the standout.
Jordan Ridley, but he's been absolutely fantastic. So he's a great find.
And Draper gets to ruck tonight against Mumford. So that'll be. I mean, he's only played the way we only saw him once last week, but I think he showed enough, took a big grab, and so he gets the chance to have a crack tonight.
I think that they're unpredictable, which, you know, I think from a supporter point of view can be frustrating, but can also be enticing. So you switch on the TV tonight or the radio and go, we don't know what's going to happen.
They want to give better than they gave last week.
Last week was poor against Brisbane. You're right, and. I mean, they beat Adelaide the week before. You know, Adelaide, we all know, are in a rebuilding phase, and they had a disappointing loss the week before that to Western Bulldogs. So, if they could get GWS tonight, that's their biggest scalp of the year.
And with that extra game still to be played.
Yes. So expectations are higher for the Giants. Their best form has come when Toby Green has been there, which hasn't been coincidental. So they're without him for now a period of time beginning tonight. Is if they're going to amount to anything, you have to tick off a game like this.
Yeah, and they need, unfortunately, they need Toby Green because they haven't had the firepower that we've seen over the last couple of years. They haven't been threatening up forward. Their main key position players in Cameron and Finlayson haven't really fired a shot. So Toby Green was that X factor, that player that brought everyone with him, and we saw that. Against Richmond, was it where he absolutely starred?
And remember the game last year; these two sides played. It was a strange old game. The Bombers came back late at the end. I think Hooker kicked the goal to give them the win. I think it was at Marvel, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We would have been calling it. So it seems another world away. Those when you look back on last year's games now, because everything's changed so much. But the Giants are in the different position, but similar, and they were still just not quite sure what they are. But if, and again, the Toby, you know, to win without Toby Green tonight is critical for them, I would have thought. Yeah, he went down early last week. They're playing the Gold Coast, and so they just need to. Yeah. And I think that's what this season is about, winning the games against the teams that are below you and around you. You can win most of those, then if you're in that contending pack, then you'll probably get there.
Yeah, I think in previous years, the most important games were the ones that were played on the road because they were so hard to win and not many sides would do that. But certainly what you just said, if you can win the games with the teams who are around you, they're really important, aren't they? Because you can put a gap on the other teams that are around you. But they had a good win last week. You know, to beat Gold Coast, and we saw what Gold Coast, how good they were last night. They were down last week. They didn't play their best football, but, you know, a win's a win. GWS would come into this game favourites, expecting to win, but, you know, without Toby Green, they'll need to find other avenues.
So the news of the day, and Richmond's club statement has just landed. So if you are unaware of this, as for the past couple of weeks it comes to light, there have been some bizarre actions taking place in the club song. I don't even feel comfortable detailing what's been going on. It's ridiculous and bizarre and quite frankly disturbing. Hugh Remington, one of the country's leading journalists, had done work on this today. He'd spoken to two criminal lawyers who just believed what was being done to Chol represented sexual assault, and it wasn't even ambiguous. He arrived in Damien Hardwick's Zoom press conference, and Richmond was taken completely unawares.
Damien, it's Hugh Remington here from Channel 10. Sadly, an off-field matter, if you don't mind taking a question on it. Are you aware of what appears to be an indecent assault against one of your players by another one of your players in the rooms after the game? In fact, there were two incidents, one after the game on against Brisbane and the other the week before against the Western Bulldogs. Do you have any knowledge of these things?
No, mate.
Okay, I'm going to take you to it.
Thanks. I appreciate your time, Hugh, but let's talk about the game. Thank you.
No, well, I'm going to put these questions to you. I'm going to put these questions to you because I've got two criminal lawyers who've said that they've looked at this vision and they say there's clearly a sexual assault taking place. It's a breach of the criminal law at state and Commonwealth level. It's a breach of the AFL code of conduct, the players' code of conduct, of the members' protection policy statement. It is on camera. We've received no complaint from any player, but it's plainly on camera. It's been discussed on social media. And I want to know, are you going to take it upon yourself, if you haven't already, to investigate what appears to be a crime between two of your players? Are you going to investigate it?
We actually have no knowledge of that. So that's the first that we've heard about it. So thank you for the question, but that's all the comment we have at the moment. Thank you.
So the from the coach, the answer is, let's be clear, is that you have no knowledge of this taking place, even though it's freely on social media. You have no knowledge of this at all.
This is correct, and thank you. We'll move on.
So that was, and then Hugh did return to questions later in the press conference, and it brought an abrupt end to things. Richmond's club statement just released is, Richmond has become aware of some players' behaviour during post-match team songs recently that is unacceptable and not in line with the club or community expectations. Nick Flostone and Jaden Short have both apologised to Mabio Chor. It was a stupid action and I'm deeply embarrassed. I've apologised to Mabio, Flostone said. It was unacceptable behaviour and a poor example, Short said. Chol said he took no offence. I have no issue whatsoever with those players or any of my teammates, but understand that is not the sort of example we should be setting, Chol said. The entire playing group have made clear this behaviour will cease. Richmond is committed to providing a safe workplace environment and will continue to work to ensure that is the case. So we asked you to watch it before, Jordan, just to give us a player's perspective. Have you seen anything like that before?
No, I haven't. Not that I can remember anyway. It would probably stick out if it had have happened within the team song. I mean, I listened to that little grab then. I mean, if Hugh Remington was so upset by it, would he not ring the club? Or do you think he deliberately wanted to make it a thing, zoning into the press conference and make it more about that instance? I mean, this is a pre-game press conference to ask questions about what's happening inside the club. Surely he would go down or call the club or go through a different avenue to get answers.
Yeah, so he has choices to make. He's not on trial here, for what it's worth.
No.
It's not Hugh's conduct that it's reprehensible in this instance. So it's a coach's press conference where the notional leader of the football club is available to the media. I think you can justify asking the questions at the press conference. You're highly unlikely to get satisfactory answers in that circumstance. So if you want answers of substance, I imagine you...
So we
put the questions to the chief executive and ask for a formal on-the-record response.
Yeah, so to Jordan's point, that he wasn't necessarily, he wouldn't have been expecting answers.
No,
he wouldn't have been. And it is done for it's a television interview, so it's done for televisual effect.
Yeah.
So that's one level, but
it was silly. I don't get the motivation for it. I only saw it for the first time 15 minutes ago. Why do you need to do that? It doesn't serve no purpose. It's stupid. It's idiotic. It's in front of cameras. You clearly know as a player, there's cameras in the room, and yes, there's not a roaming camera like there usually is, but you can see the cameras on the wall, so you know that songs are being watched on television. It was just plain right stupid.
One of the curious parts about it is I think we know we have enough case studies in the modern world is what is addressed now in a club circumstance is revisited in years to come. So if you look at the Heredia Lumumba case and the way Collingwood dealt with things at the time and then what it looks like once the club environment is – once a player is removed from the club environment and the like – I would think that Peggy O'Neill and Brendan Gale would be aghast is a good word.
Yeah, it is. And I think because the thing that Mabio did not look comfortable, and you take him on his word, and horseplay was actually the word that Hugh Remington used later in asking the questions, and clearly that's what it appears to be. And
I think, he wasn't expecting it, was he?
No, he wasn't. So while you can on one side say that that's what they were doing, on the other hand, he didn't look comfortable. So that's why I was interested to hear what you had to say, Jordan, to be honest, and Andy Mayle listened to him on the way in, and he was sort of saying what goes on and can go on in footy, suddenly when it's looked at from the outside through a different lens, it can be hard to explain.
Yeah, but this isn't that. Like, this is not the norms of the football world. I mean, to look at it within our football lenses, to go, oh, that is completely abnormal.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's why I was interested in. But you haven't.
Yeah, no, not that I can. Around the locker room, you know, you used to do the old towel whip and, you know, those sorts of things. But I always remember around Hawthorn, whenever someone will do that, we go, you know, we've got history in this age because I think it was, you know, Peter Crimmins, who passed away through testicular cancer. And it was just stupid. I just don't get it. I don't get it. You know, when you showed me before, I was like, there's no need. No need.
On a more trivial but still a workplace issue is the boots from last night. So
we were doing the game before we get onto the boots. We were doing the game, and it's the first time I can remember where we've had one of these horrific injuries, and you watch the replay 100 times and you're still trying to, I didn't quite know what to say because I couldn't see exactly what had happened. And he was sort of even smiling on the way off. So you think, well, we all presumed it was a broken leg. And then I got a text really late from a friend saying, I think it's the Swans boots play. And I asked the guys behind the scenes to replay it and they still couldn't quite see it.
So that's it, because we were calling on radio, so we're using the same pitch as you are. And all we can conclude, they were literally holding his leg together leaving the field and trying to work out what that was.
And they were going really slow on the buggy, weren't they?
And it's an 8-inch gash straight down his shin from a steel stud.
I thought along with you, maybe he's broken his leg and they just didn't want to splice the bone, so they were just holding it in place until they could, I don't know, get a boot on it. But I'm always mindful in those situations because you don't want to. You're certainly not an expert in that field. So, there was no instance that would suggest that it was, you know, anything like a stud through the leg. There was, you know, no blood. We didn't have a camera angle, but to learn that it was a massive gash from a stud that has turned out to be not legal. Is huge. I mean, I remember clearly early on in my career that we would have to get boots checked, and that's not before the game by the umpire, but we would have to tell the club what boot you wanted for that year, and if there was a change throughout the year, you had to then say, this is the boot that I'm wearing. But certainly...
Was that to do with, like, commercial more than anything, or was that to do
mainly commercial, but to make sure they're legitimate. Legal. Because I think there was a stage... And probably what we saw last night, where they were making boots for soccer, you know, overseas European style boots, and I never had an issue because I would always wear molds because studs wouldn't really suit my feet. But I wouldn't have got my boots checked for the last 10 years of my career.
So you did early in your career?
Yep, Yeah. We had to go to the club and say this is what we're wearing.
Yeah, so the umpires didn't come down, though.
They're not by an official from the AFL or the umpires. But, yeah, never really happened.
So, young man in his first game, standard issue Nike boots. So, I have listened to the conversation during the day, and it just strikes me as the culpability of the boot manufacturer seems to be ignored. This would seem straight up and down to be an issue for Nike, especially if these boots are in any way marketed as Australian rules boots. They are flat out illegal.
Do we know yet? Because there was a comment that other players wore them as well. If that's true, it's hard to come up with any other explanation, isn't it?
Do you know why? Was it what they're made out of, or were they too long?
Aluminium.
There's a mix of steel, aluminium, and plastic. And the steel aluminium boots are illegal. The studs are illegal. It is bizarre that could happen out on the field in such a unobtrusive way, and then the consequences of it.
Oh, it's shocking.
Yeah.
And the talk was that because Nathan alluded to the fact that the players had already, before this incident happened, had seen. So that's why I wondered about whether other players were wearing it as well, if Collingwood players had raised the question before.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that bit. So the Collingwood players said that
they'd noticed them anyway. So I don't know if they'd said, hey, what are you wearing? But they'd noticed them before.
Yeah.
So, if they're aluminium, you should be able to recycle them at the very least. 5 cents back.
Taking to South Australia.
So no fine, but the competition-wide warning. And I think that's right.
Yeah.
Especially because clearly the league didn't fulfil its obligation of checking.
Yeah.
So it has a level of culpability as well as the player and the club. But I do think the boot manufacturer above all else. And Isaac Quayne, a surgery and at least a couple of weeks on the sidelines.
Yeah. It's just a horrendous injury, isn't it?
And
to add to that, they had a few more injuries last night.
It's significant. I mean, they've got a group of matches against bottom of the ladder teams.
Yeah.
So they might be able to scrape through and win most of those.
I think they've got Melbourne, Adelaide.
North Melbourne, I think.
North Melbourne.
So.
But, yeah, I mean, Quaynor's mum was right. She said she suggested that the reason why he got a game was everyone was falling over.
Rusko's mum, sorry.
Trey Rusko.
Gee, aren't the mums getting the limelight at the moment, which is great. There's another rookie tonight too, Xavier O'Halloran, gets his first game, and he had the clubs have got to come up with something different. It's a standard FaceTime mum and dad and brother, crying. I think it's great. I mentioned it last week. I think it's been a wonderful part of this year. And I might discuss a bit later about the debutants and the type of play that you would play and maybe not play this season. So that's just one as we throw some questions around later.
So Tom Papley's been fined for staging. So the fine is innocuous. It's $500. This is the one that probably carries the greatest level of humiliation.
Came from AFL Operations Manager Alistair Clarkson, I think.
So he felt a little bit of contact and propelled himself forward in a pretty damning way. I do think if you're not going to enact a staging fine for that, then it is redundant.
He did it last week as well, not probably to the same degree, but there was a couple of times where in the call I had to sort of pull myself up and go, your instant reaction was that was a bad fake, but that was more pronounced last night, so they had to make the call on it.
Yeah, it's probably an accumulation with him.
I think you're right.
Because you see other players, over the weekend or during the week as we are at the moment, do that, but I think once Clarko got asked about it, and I thought his answer was perfectly fine, and then the AFL or some station put it on Instagram, then Papley writes down the bottom, LOL, laugh out loud, and then 2 weeks later he gets done for staging. So maybe they were, and I suppose Maynard's comments around, you could hear on the ump's mic, may have alerted to them a little bit more.
I do wonder where the process goes here about how do they decide which even incidents to look at when it comes to staging. I guess it fits under all the other things that they mark.
But I think we'll see episodes tonight that it'll be pretty similar to what we saw with Papley. Now, because it may be Papley, do they then look at it a bit different to someone that might not necessarily be renowned for that.
Yeah. Well, that's what then happens, though, isn't it? The players are labelled, as you said, it's sort of an embarrassment. And then the umpires, well, they're human. So then, you know, the old boy or cry wolf sometimes, I think, has played out with a number of players over the years about that.
So I guess the level of contact is what has to be assessed. But I agree with you. I think one instance is not going to get a player a fine for diving, but I think once you start to rack them up over a few weeks, it's proactive stuff. Every side is the best side of the Hyundai iLoad. It's reliable as anything, with room for everything, with dual sliding doors, a turbo diesel powertrain, and right now a special $2,500 discount for ABN holders. Tonight in the build-up, Dyson Heppel, the Bombers skipper, to join us. The AFL Nation pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. Need a new bathroom? Choose Aussie Beaumont Tiles.
AFL Nation for McDonald's.
Get into Macca's today for hot, juicy, tasty burgers made with 100% Aussie beef and Liquorland. Always great value.
Seasons change, but your home comfort shouldn't. Luckily, with a Fujitsu reverse cycle ducted air conditioner, you'll have complete control of the temperature of your home no matter what time of year. And right now, simply get a Fujitsu ducted air conditioner on Fujitsu Cool Finance and pay no deposit and no interest for up to 60 months. Hurry, this offer ends 30th September. Fujitsu, it's Australia's favourite air.
Offer available from a finance-approved Fujitsu authorised specialist only. Approved applicants only. Fees, terms and conditions including minimum finance amounts apply. Credit by Flexicards Australia.
Are you needing to work from home? The Telstra Store Mount Gambier are here to let you know that we now have mobile broadband plans to suit. Working from home can be hard to juggle, but with no lock-in contracts and the flexibility to change your data plan once a month at no extra charge, you can stay connected to Australia's largest mobile network. To find out more, call your friendly Telstra team from Telstra Store Mount Gambier on 8723 6666.
If you're craving the taste of your favourites, head to Macca's for a fast, safe and contactless drive-through experience. For your Macca's run, contact-free, we'll be here.
Not feeling like a Friday on a Friday? Get your Friday feeling back with OTR's $2 Fuick Friday. Grab any 600ml Farmers Union iced coffee for just $2 every Friday until the 28th of August. Get it at OTR.
SEN Track is the new sound of chasing, pacing and racing. And each Saturday afternoon, you can watch it online. Live stream Saturday trackside on the SEN app or on Twitch via your mobile, computer or smart TV. The banter, the fun, the expert analysis and horse racing tips. Simon O'Donnell, Dave Taggart and co bring it all to the table. Saturday trackside on SEN Track. Watch the live stream each Saturday from 11:30 a.m.
Hub Life is all systems go and so is the AFL record. With an exclusive Round 10 and 11 bumper edition. The team talked to Richmond's high performance manager, Peter Burge, about hub life and shorter quarters.
Plus, read about St Kilda ruckman, Paddy Ryder,
as he celebrates 250 games. Don't miss the Red Energy footy quiz and the Answer Man with leading stats experts. The AFL record. Thanks to Karcher. Just $5 at all Adelaide Oval games.
Does your CTP insurer tick the box? Let's see. Does it support local footy and give you a gift card? Because Amy does. This Rego time, tick Amy as your CTP insurer for 12 months and we'll donate $5 to Sandful and give you a $30 gift card. Call 13 22 44 to find out more. Pick the CTP insurer that backs local footy.
Lucky, you're with Amy.
T's and C's apply. Visit amy.com.au. Insurance issued by AAI Limited Trading as Amy.
We've been out of here all day not catching any crays. Why are those guys catching so many?
Well, they shop at Taylor Marine. That's why they've got a nice-looking boat with the best electronics on board.
Best electronics, eh? Does that make a difference?
Furuno Electronics. It's what all the pros use.
If you want the crays, make sure you shop at Taylor Marine. 349 Commercial Street West, Mount Gambier. 8726 5200.
AFL Nation for McDonald's.
Get into Macca's today for hot, juicy, tasty burgers made with 100% Aussie beef and Liquorland. Always great value.
Saturday night footy on AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles, Australia's biggest.
Friday night footy, Essendon and the Giants coming up on AFL Nation for McDonald's. Get into Macca's today for hot, juicy, tasty burgers made with 100% Aussie beef and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. As well as a game to close the round on a Friday night, there's a tribunal hearing. Alex Neil Bullen.
You're in heaven, Jerry.
We've got so many balls in the air. It's great. So this is as bad as a sling tackle can be. Hold of the jumper, slammed Will Hamill into the ground, left him concussed. Now, the medical report intended to the tribunal is Hamill will miss 7 days training and at least 2 games of footy. So that's how it's come to be graded as severe. Melbourne are trying to defend it down to high, and this sort of ignores the level of inflation that was added 2 weeks ago in the Ben Long case, where everything got bumped up one grade and concussion became severe where previously it had been high. So Melbourne are arguing essentially before that precedent was laid down and upheld by the tribunal. And so they're arguing for a 2-week suspension, and on the other side of it, the AFL is actually pushing for 4. They say there was no malice in the tackle, but that's as severe as things get. The favoured way is 3. That's sort of what the table says, 3 plus when you go to the tribunal, but the AFL pushing for 4 and Melbourne trying for 2.
Yeah, I'd be 3 or 4 I'd be comfortable with. Jordan, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm the same. It didn't look great.
No. And he knew straight away.
He knew straight away, and he's not an aggressive type of person or player, Alex Neil Bullen. But he just got stuck in a moment that he'd wish he probably had again and would do it differently. But as soon as you pin the arm and then you sling them to the ground, all sorts of things can happen.
So did you ever do it? Like, I know in the early days of tackling, you know, I remember even as a kid coming through playing whatever, I got to a certain level of under whatever it was, 14s or whatever at that time, and it was like...
What, D's or C's?
In the age, you tackle to hurt. I remember, do you? Right, okay, I thought you tackled to, to win the footy back, and but that was what everyone was taught, really, wasn't it? Well, certainly once you got to that senior level, and make tackles count, and... Yeah, the culture's clearly changed for the better now. But so I was interested in your thoughts on the sling tackle, even from when you started to now.
Yeah, I mean, we were always taught not necessarily tackle to hurt, but tackle to take to ground. So, and it was never really a predictable thing. You know, you would always find yourself in a tackle. I mean, and you do tackling training all the time at training, but you'd always, for whatever reason, just find yourself in an instance where it was unfamiliar. And Alex Neil Bullen would never have done a tackle like that before in his life. But he was just in a position where he had an arm. How he got that, who knows? And he had a jumper, and he had the chance to get him to ground in a position that he's never probably been in before.
What goes through your head? How quickly can you make those decisions?
Oh, you don't have time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once the tackle is executed and he's gone to ground, and then Neil Bullen would have realised what he'd done, that's too late. And that's when you realize it's some players are good enough to get you in a position where halfway through the tackle they go, oh, this isn't good, this could end badly, and sort of nurse you to the ground. That wasn't the instance with Neil Bullen. He'd probably never been in that position before. And the momentum taking the play to ground, you couldn't pull out of that. There was just no way out of that tackle.
It's a really important test case now because of the way Melbourne have argued it, is the tribunal has to reinforce over and over and over that concussion is severe. So I would hope that's not lost on the 3 panel members. Whether they've sat on these previously, is it just has to be reinforced the whole way through?
Well, it has to be severe. I mean, because what they say is missing 2 games and 7 days training.
Yes, yeah. So that obviously fulfills severe, but we've crossed a threshold where we move concussion from high to severe, and the game will be well served by it, but it needs to be reinforced each time that it is challenged. Teams have just come through for tomorrow, so the start of round 11, Port Adelaide and Richmond, which has got a lot in it. So Lysette returns for Port, and Lynott comes back into the team as well. Mays is suspended and Westhoff is dropped. For Richmond, Caddy and Rioli are in, and Cochin has been managed, and Higgins has been dropped. So Port have been waiting for Lysette to come back. Westhoff's been holding the fort. That's still his role. So out he goes. Caddy, they've been was the hamstring in one of the early games, wasn't it?
It was.
In the hub.
Yeah, I think it was the Sydney
North
game?
Melbourne
or the
game.
Or the one after.
Yeah.
He's probably come back quicker than I thought he would, to be honest. It's hard to...
Hamstrings haven't been the standard 21 days this year, which if we do get recurrences and we're going to blame the compressed season, I wonder if we don't sit a, hey, where did the 21-day program go? And Cochin, they said they would be careful with him given his soft tissue history and won't demand the short turnaround.
Which you can understand. Absolutely.
And for Brisbane, so Rich, McStay, Birchall and Eagles in for Skinner, Ballenden, Payne and Rayner, who misses with a hamstring. And the Western Bulldogs, Norton, Dale and Gardner replace Smith, Crozier, who's injured, and Waitman.
So Brisbane was the team I wanted to talk about with their selection. Geordie, the other night during that game, and we mentioned it before the game, they played three players who had three games or less that were over 198 centimetres. They've all been left out this week. I thought, it does, you know, I know they had injuries, but I thought that was a selection mistake. Now, they might say, well, we wanted to give the, you know, McStay was suspended, Birchall, they were managed. We wanted to give the kids a chance, but I felt that left them really unbalanced. I felt like Tom Lynch was then able to be more effective because Harris Andrews was trying to cover for his young teammate. So it was a real baptism of fire for young Payne. Bringing those young kids in, I think when you bring in young, particularly we saw the same with the Irishman for Collingwood, it's a big call to bring in a young key defender. You want to have good experience around them.
Well, it probably goes to what you were saying before. When is the right time? And when do you pull the trigger on, you know, including these young kids into the game? And they may look back and go, it probably was too much for that Richmond game. But they might not have had much to play with. You know, that might have been their only option, or that it might have been an instance where they wanted to look at.
But even Matt, you know, Eagles says he's a bit older. He's played a few games.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's easy for me to say. It was just it was interesting that they would. I felt that Matt left them a lot to ask of three players that tall with that inexperience.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a coach, you are that was probably the decision that they would have been wrestling with at match committee. Match committee probably went for an hour, maybe 2 hours sometimes they go for. It would have been an hour and a half on that call.
Aaron Norton returns for the Dogs, so this is what fans are waiting for. You're going to have to be patient, though, as Luke Beveridge made it pretty clear that he has to play. He's not ready to play, but he's got to play.
We're likely to pick him. I think it's important to lower expectations, though. He's been out for a little while, and for him to come in cold and play at his absolute best is going to be a huge challenge for him. But in the current climate, the current situation, there's no better way to get match fitness than to actually play one, obviously. But, I think the frustrating thing is he was starting to get back to some of his best in the Sydney game when he got injured. So now, you know, we hope it doesn't take him too long, but just to get the run of the of play and the blowouts he needs, this is the first step to the next few, and hopefully we can play well together and move the ball well to help him play well. But he's likely to come in,
and he is in.
Who will be his opponent this week, Jared?
Harris Andrews.
Yeah. Or Darcy Gardner.
Yeah. A lot rests on him, though, doesn't it? Because make sense ahead of the
Josh
ball.
Josh Bruce still in the team?
Yep.
Yeah.
They don't make sense ahead of the ball without him there, which is a lot to sit on him, but that's just in 3 weeks' time, as he's going to have to be playing really well for them to make a late run and make the eight.
Yeah, I think they would judge his game on purely contests, I think. You know, he's a big lad, he crashes the pack, and that would be all I would expect Luke Beveridge to ask. If you kick goals, bonus, well done, but it's good to have you back. Just make sure you compete. What we don't want, and what he may do, what I would be inclined to think about is to do maybe a defensive role on Harris Andrews. You know, be that player that's accountable for him. Don't get lost up the ground in transition or leading for the ball. Take account for Harris Andrews. It's a nice way to sort of filter back into the team, and you've got a responsibility. So usually when you come back into the team, whether you're experienced or inexperienced, it's hard to find your feet. If you've got a job, well, at least you're going to latch onto something that gives you some sort of purpose throughout the game. So it wouldn't be a bad move.
Jacob's in Oakley. Hello. I think he wants to swap notes on learning to tackle with you. Jacob, welcome to AFL Nation.
Some sort of purpose throughout the game,
Just turn your radio off, Jacob, and we'll get you in real time.
Thanks. Sorry about that.
What have you got for us, Jacob?
just earlier when you're talking about that sling tackle, I think it was pretty dangerous. But as you were saying, how you were growing up playing football, when I was growing up, I was told to be aggressive and, you know, not so much hurt the opponent, but, you know, tackle them with aggression and some force, you know, make them scared that they don't want to pick up the ball when they're running next to you. Like, that's the way I was taught, and that's the way I think football should be played. And these players now, they don't do that anymore. And, you know, it's not fault of their own. I mean, the umpires, they're pretty shocking when it comes to all this stuff. But I think that's what the game needs. I reckon it needs more aggression, and the umpires need to stand off a little bit and just let the players be aggressive. If they do a dangerous tackle, you know, and they slam their heads in the ground, fair enough. But all this other stuff, I think they really need to stand back and just let the players play the game and be a little bit more aggressive.
Jacob, the tackling is fearsome, Jordan. Would be my observation, and never more so than now.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's probably one of the only chances players get to show any aggression around the ground. And tackling, for me, I mean, that has been a constant theme and a constant topic of conversation. The players are too strong. They're too built up. They're too prepared in the tackle. And that's why we're seeing players getting hurt.
How much stronger, say, or how much more force do you think a player would exert now in a tackle, just because of the, you know, modern strength and conditioning, as compared to when you started, or would it be just the same?
I don't know. I think that's hard to read. I really don't know. I think I was just, this is purely just came to my head. You've got players now who are drafted at all different types and sizes. So we've got bigger body midfielders, smaller midfielders. You know, we've got forwards pushing up the ground. So you're going to get a lot more mismatches maybe these days than what we had in the past, because you've got just different size athletes around the contest. And I don't know, maybe that's a thing that we never had in the past, that you're getting, you know, big players tackling little players, and they are more assertive in that instance.
What we all have to be able to agree on is that the Alex Neil Bullen tackle has no place in the game. Whether it ever did or not, it has no place in the game. Shout out for Liquorland and the great Northern Super Crisp Lager. Fruity, clean, refreshing lager. Head in-store or click and collect in just 30 minutes. We're going to touch base with both of tonight's teams, the Giants and Essendon. Dyson Heppel is going to join us shortly. This is AFL Nation, the pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles. Exclusive bathroom packages from Beaumont's. $4,000 the lot.
AFL Nation for McDonald's.
Get into Macca's today for hot, juicy, tasty burgers made with 100% Aussie beef. And Liquorland. Always great value. Was born.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Jacob Hopper sang the praises of midfield coach and Football Hall of Famer Lenny Hayes.
Firstly, with what he's achieved on the field and the knowledge that he can kind of pass on has been huge, and to kind of learn from him has been something that I'm not taking for granted. Then off the field, obviously, the type of character that Lenny is, everyone that knows Lenny knows he's a ripper. So,
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson. Weekdays on SEN.
If you're craving the taste of your favourites, head to Macca's for a fast, safe and contactless drive-through experience. For your Macca's run, contact-free, we'll be here.
Hey, Mount Gambier. 5G is now rolling out in selected areas of our great city. That means you can download what you love faster than ever. Things like music, movies and games. 5G isn't just faster mobile download speeds, it also enables smooth video streaming on your phone, video calls with low lag and better connectivity in crowded areas. Come down to the Telstra store Mount Gambier on James Street and chat to the team about what Australia's best 5G can do for you.
Telstra mobile service required.
Hi there, it's Sandra Sully. How good is it that community sport is back? If you've missed it as much as I have, get down to your local hockey club and register to play. Hockey's a great sport to keep fit and catch up with your friends. So give COVID the flick and give hockey a go today.
Your team's looking sharp.
It's those new uniforms from EMU. Did the design myself too.
Didn't know you were the creative type.
Oh, I'm not, but EMU's EV2 online kit builder made it too easy. You can make online orders as well. EMU are awesome.
EMU Sportswear are obsessed with sport. It's in their DNA. Quality sportswear for all athletes and teams. Score a winning goal with the EMU EV2 kit builder. emusportswear.com.au.
Looking for a Wi-Fi solution for your Fujitsu wall-mounted air conditioner? With Fujitsu's Anywhere Technology Wi-Fi device, you can remotely control the temperature of your home from your smartphone using the My Anywhere app. The infrared Wi-Fi device is compatible with a range of Fujitsu air conditioning units up to 10 years old. Plus, it's compatible with a number of smart home voice control devices. To find out more, visit fujitsugeneral.com.au. Fujitsu, it's Australia's favourite air.
Available on selected models only, which are operated by a wireless controller. See website for details.
Hub Life is all systems go, and so is the AFL record. With an exclusive Round 10 and 11 bumper edition, the team talked to Richmond's high-performance manager, Peter Burge, about Hub Life and shorter quarters.
Plus, read about St Kilda ruckman, Paddy Ryder,
as he celebrates 250 games. Don't miss the Red Energy Footy Quiz and the Answer Man with leading stats experts. The AFL record. Thanks to Karcher. Just $5 at all Adelaide Oval games.
If it happens locally,
nationally, or overseas,
SEN is there. Listen anywhere, anytime on the SEN app. If life gets in the way, no worries. SEN catch-up podcasts are on the SEN app too. Jared Waitley, Dwayne Russell, Gary Lyon and Tim Watson, Bob Murphy and Andy Marr. Download the SEN app and listen back today.
When a feed's what you need, KD's has you covered. From fresh cooked meals to burgers and great deals, KD's Deli has you covered. With friendly smiles and food for miles, KD's has you covered. If it's basic needs like butter and cheese, KD's has you covered. For great coffee and service or a warm, friendly chat, KD's Deli is where it's at. Pop in and let them make your day today. 252 Commercial Street West is where it's best. Open 5:30 a.m. till 2 p.m. Monday to Friday.
AFL Nation, for McDonald's.
Get into Macca's today for hot, juicy, tasty burgers made with 100% Aussie beef and Liquorland.
Always great value.
Friday night footy on AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles, Australia's biggest.
There was a few meows coming out of the crowd yesterday. Why is that and why is it so related to you?
Oh, look, I think I'm just a bit of a different cat, pardon the pun. Yeah, I don't know, I don't take myself too seriously.
And I like the fact that you're honest and open about the fact that you are a weird cat.
Oh, I suppose I've always had a little bit of it in me. I think probably as of recent times, last year and a bit, it's sort of come out and I suppose, yeah, I've sort of just, yeah, embraced it.
Xavier O'Halloran, who's going to make his debut tonight in conversation there with Phil Davis. So his nickname's Meow because he's a strange cat.
He's a strange cat. I think Dylan Buckley has had a big influence on him when in his time there, encouraging him to express himself and own his true identity. And apparently he's a weird cat. And when the announcement was made to the players he was playing, there was all these meows. So Phil Davis interviewed him and explained a little bit of why.
Should we learn more about him? I think we must. The head of football at GWS is Jason McCartney. Jason, welcome to AFL Nation.
Good evening, gents. How are you going?
Did that put a smile on your face?
It certainly did. I don't care how weird he is. He's tough and he's powerful. And we're looking forward to his debut. And he's a great kid. Knew him for a while living in Essendon when I was in Melbourne, and my son's playing down at St Bernard's, so he's a local St Bernard's product. So I know everyone will be watching keenly there from Essendon and St Bernard's footy club and school tonight. But yeah, he's earned the right. He's had a fantastic couple of months in the match practice we've had for the non-selected players. So he's well and truly ready to step into the AFL scene tonight.
Hey, Jase, good evening. One question Phil Davis didn't ask him in the clip, and maybe you'll know, is whether he actually barracked for Essendon, because, as you said, a really strong tie to the club or to the area, and now comes up against them tonight in his debut game.
That's a good question, Hutto. Someone might have mentioned that. I'm not exactly sure, but I know myself growing up a mad Keen Bomber supporter back in the day. Once you cross the line, you go pretty hard. So if he was, that was great then, but it's now and he's a giant. So we look forward to him butting heads with someone maybe who could have been his idols.
So how has he won his place? Is it? It's not the easiest environment just playing against teammates routinely, is it?
It hasn't been too bad for us, to be honest. We've probably had 7 weeks where we've played. Look, we have played the Swans probably 4 or 5 times. But with the hub situation in New South Wales for that period of time, we had the 2 games against Hawthorn, which was great. And today we played Essendon, it was Essendon. I think there was 5 from Richmond there, and there might have been a Gold Coast Sun lad running around as well. So we've had pretty good numbers with our player availability. So I know some clubs have been stuck with sort of 11 on 11, 12 on 12, but we've generally been around that 15 to 17 mark. So they've had good quality hitouts, which has been important.
How quickly do you go west? Do you fly tomorrow?
Yeah, we do. We fly out late tomorrow afternoon. So we get in late tomorrow evening and we're straight into sort of hotel quarantine for that first night. We're at Crown Metropole. So the Hawks are currently there and they come out of their 2 weeks quarantine on Sunday. So we're really straight to our rooms. And once they're out on Sunday, we're then bound by the restrictions where we are only leaving the hotel to play that game in the first 2 weeks, which will be against the Swans and obviously just our training sessions.
So you play the Swans, the Eagles. Will you play the Dockers while you're there as well?
Yeah, we've got both West Australian clubs. So I think it works out. Apologies, Lauren in the background.
Yeah.
We've got the 6 day break with a bye, which is amazing. And a 6 day break. Funny how it works now. Playing the Swans next Thursday, then it's 10 day break to the Eagles. And then it hasn't come out yet, but our assumption would be it's probably on the following Saturday or Sunday, so 6 or 7 day break, play Fremantle.
And do you expect you'll fly back to Queensland rather than Sydney after that?
Well, it's looking a little bit that way now. Since we've been up in Brisbane this week, obviously the reason we had to get up because of the restrictions on the Greater Sydney region, but now that the borders are shut to New South Wales and ACT, there's no doubt we'll keep having conversations with Dave Matthews and Tom Harley and others will about the fly-in, fly-out exemptions that do exist for the NRL at the moment. But we've got to do a lot of, with the last couple of days, we've been doing a lot of planning around if that is the case and we are flying back here, what the accommodation could be and things like that. Because the reality is, if it is back here, it might be well and truly right through with sort of 4 home and away games to go and then hopefully a finals campaign. So we could be on the road for near on 3 months. Mm.
And we heard, I think it was Alistair Clarkson mentioned, that the situation currently suits probably younger teams. Do you see it that way? Have you seen your younger side, I suppose, adapt to the situation at hand?
Yeah, it's a good question. It does. Like our group has probably been listening to a bit about the Tigers, how well they've adapted. We were all struggling as clubs to have that connection when we're in our own environments with just the COVID protocols that we're operating under. So we've got greater connection whilst we're away. There's no doubt about it. The young ones, I think they'll be happy to stay away to Christmas. The only ones I've probably got some concerns with, it's a couple of older boys have got families and they're here this week, but they won't come to Perth. But it'll be more for our staff, to be honest. But yeah, the players, yeah, like I said, they're happy to stay as long as it is required.
So, Jace, looking ahead towards tonight, good win last week against, you know, we probably looked at that game and thought it'd be a really good match, but you got the win over Gold Coast Suns. So looking ahead to tonight, and I suppose a reflection on how your season has gone so far, pretty happy with the position you sit in?
We'd always love to be a couple of extra wins in the bank, but the beauty of the last couple of weeks, we're starting to play the style that we know is required to win games of footy in 2020. And it is about, we were struggling, we were very efficient, as you know, inside forward 50, but we weren't taking ground and our ball movement was a bit stagnant and we were going lateral more than forward. So we started to address that and last week was really pleasing. They're a quality side and you look at the game last night, the Gold Coast were involved, it was one of the better games we've seen this season. And to be able to get it in there and get a front half game going. So I think it's been all underpinned the last 2 or 3 weeks. So our contest has been back to the level it needs to be. We were just paddling there for a fair while for whatever reason. And in the last 3 weeks, we're sort of back at number one in that 3 week period for contested ball. There's no doubt, as we know, you win it in the middle, you win the contest and you get it in there. You can, you know, really squeeze up and try and play more of a front half game.
And a player you've welcomed back, and I know it's not off the back of one player being back in the side, but other players around him can step into probably their more natural role. But Zach Williams, having him back has certainly helped that.
Oh, no doubt. Zach, just because what he does, he's just electrifying the way he moves and he gets the footy. But he's always going forward. He's rarely going lateral. So that definitely helps. And like even from last week, like Jeremy Finlayson, forward and ruck, but he got really high a few times and he's an elite kick and he really changed the angles a couple of sort of heart and mouth at times when it's 1v3. But he was able to hit those targets and the overlap from that. So there's a bit more dare coming into our game. And the other thing we talk about, just confidence in this game. It just can be there and be gone so quickly. And we were, going back a couple of weeks ago, we were devoid of a lot of confidence with our ball movement, but it feels like there's a lot more energy within the group and that confidence is there to take the game on a bit more.
Jason, good to chat. Give me a number. How many games will Toby Green miss? One, two, three? What do you reckon?
With a 10-day break, I think probably two. He's a fair chance, I think, for that Eagles game. He was doing running mechanics again at training 2 days ago, so it's on the lower scale for a hammy, so hopefully it's only the two.
Fingers crossed. Good on you, Jason McCartney. Thank you. The Giants head of football ahead of tonight's encounter with Essendon. More on AFL Nation next.